All right, let's open our Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 14. Began in verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto them, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now made ready, And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I've bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said to his servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Want to just touch on a few things here in these verses. We find that this representative of the kingdom of God is like a man who had a great supper, and he invited many to come and be partakers of that supper. This is an example of the Lord calling those to come and follow him. And they began with one consent to make excuses of why they couldn't follow him. Now, I want to talk a little bit this morning about hearing the Lord and obeying him and doing his will. Often we hear the call, but then our minds begin to be filled with all kinds of reasons why we can't, or why it will be difficult, or the battle that'll ensue. I was blessed this morning with the Sunday school lesson. Jehoshaphat went and presented his cause before the Lord, and the Lord heard him. It was just a blessing this morning of how that he fasted and prayed, and the people sought the Lord before this battle happened. That's where our battles are won. It's not the battle that we fight that wins the war. When we get on God's side, that's when we win the war. Prayer, we've often said, many times we've discussed this, such false concept of prayer. The world teaches that you pray and you ask God to do things for you. Or you ask God to help you out of all your situations. Or you ask God to deliver you from these problems. But that's not the purpose of prayer. The purpose of prayer is not to get God lined up with your plan. The purpose of prayer is to get you lined up with God's plan. And when you get lined up with God's plan, all you have to do is go through whatever God wants you to go through. No matter what it is. It doesn't matter whether it brings shame to you. All you have to do is follow. Wives, you may not like what your husband wants you to do. But that don't matter. All you have to do is follow. Men, you may not like what you have to do. But all you have to do is follow. It's so simple. The gospel and God's way is so simple. That's why Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and follow me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, it may be hard, but when we surrender our will and decide that all I have to do is go through this, the yoke is easy and the burden is light. The hard part is whenever I'm fighting with myself or whether I'm going to go through it or not. The hard part is when I'm trying to make excuses for not wanting to follow the Lord. Well, I've bought some land and I can't come. Please have me excused. I bought some cows. I can't come. Have me excused. I got married. He didn't even make an excuse. He just said, I got married. And the Lord was angry because they didn't come to His supper. And He said, just go out and get whoever will come, whoever will listen. What is the Lord calling? What is the Lord wanting from you? What does He want from you? What does He want you to do and you're making excuses for? They might be legitimate excuses, but that don't matter. Lay it down. The three nations may be coming together against you to fight. Seek the Lord and His help and just walk through it. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and all I have to do is follow. All I have to do is go through whatever God wants me to go through. And when I go through that, He is my defender. He is my protector. He is the one that wins the battles for me. You know, a lot of times we're accused of doing it on our own because we obey the Lord. Well, see, that's where the problem comes in. until we do what God wants us to do, He won't help us. The worldly church is waiting for God to do some miracle in their life so that they can begin to do something. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. And as we go and as we follow, that's something that we have to choose to do. And when we choose to do that, He begins to win battles for us. You want to see God doing something in your life? You want to see miracles? You want to see things happening in your life? You start following and trusting and surrendering, and you'll start seeing mountains moved. We don't see it sometimes because we're making excuses about how big the mountain's going to be and how I don't want to climb it, or I've got a sore foot, or I've got a sore thumb, or whatever our excuse is, that I can't start climbing. And so that mountain just stays right there in front of us, just as big as ever, and it's a big burden to us, instead of just start walking. And then the mountain gets smaller and smaller and smaller till it's just gone. That's the way it was with the man that sought the Lord this morning. He sought the Lord when he saw the battle. He was going to go through it. And he yielded himself to go through it. And then he sought the Lord. And the Lord did that wonderful miracle. God will help us do His will whenever we lay down ours. If we're trying to carry our will and His will, it's too heavy. We can't do it. It won't work. But when we lay down ours and take up His, He'll fight battles for us. And He'll win those battles for us. And all we have to do is follow and go through it. Sometimes the advice and sometimes what He says is hard to do. Sometimes the offer may just be a little slim offer, but it's our opportunity to take it. Sometimes it may just be some little thing that we just don't want to do. We were there's a man on the street that has been very antagonistic. I've told you about him, and I've told you about his children. And he was there again Friday night, and he mockingly calls me Jesus. Every time I see him, he says, "Hello, Jesus," and his boys drive by and they say, "Hello, Jesus." They've taken things that I've said and have twisted them all around. And he's just very obnoxious. He just stands behind us and mocks and says all kinds of things. And he has everything that we've ever said. He's taken it and all twisted it all up. And he was just saying all kinds of things that we said and had them all mixed up. And he, for about 2 hours Friday night, he was just completely arguing. And you would have just thought that he wouldn't have believed anything about God. And then his wife was with him, and there was this man that came up, or this woman that came up and started arguing with him about what we were saying. And then they started arguing. And here, in this argument, they were both defending us, but they were still arguing with each other. And the man, he was, the woman, well, at one point she was just telling that an adulterer and a fornicator could still go to heaven. And this man said, no, the Bible says no, that's not right. They cannot. And he was just defending what we were saying. And I just looked to his wife and I said, this man hates us, but he doesn't hate us. He thinks we're representing this false Christianity, and he knows what the Bible says. And I just looked at her and I said, he agrees with us much more than he even knows and he even thinks. And I guess he heard me because he just walked off then and left. And then a few minutes later he came back and he was just completely different than I've ever seen him before. And he just started just really listening. Well, let's hear what your story is. And we began to tell him. And it just turned out, and he said, your message is so hard. Your message is so hard. And I showed him this verse about if a man won't forsake his father and mother and wife and children, and yea, his own life also, and take up his cross and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. And he saw that Jesus' messages was hard. And he said something, he said, you know, this generation doesn't understand all of this. You're out here like soldiers. He said, I wish I had employees like you all that were as dedicated to what you believe. And he just really began to open up. He said, You're presenting a message that makes soldiers. And I said, we're presenting a message that, you're right, it makes soldiers. We've tried this phony message, and it doesn't produce soldiers. Christ is looking for people who will see the hard battle ahead of them and trust God and walk through it. He doesn't require you to be strong and educated and diligent and all of those, things that we might think that we're weak in. He just requires faithfulness. And with that comes this diligence and this strength. Maybe we're ashamed. Maybe we're embarrassed. Maybe we don't think we have anything to offer. Maybe we'd just as soon make an excuse of why I can't follow. Maybe I'm not educated enough. It's not what he wants. He wants someone who will trust him and just say, I'm going to follow him. And all those things that you made excuses about of being so weak will just begin to peel away and fall off. You may still feel humble. You may still feel like it's too hard. But as you begin to walk, you'll find yourself doing things that you never thought you would. God is just looking for someone who wants to follow Him. Quit making excuses. Quit making excuses about, well, I don't want to be baptized yet because I might fail. Well, you're already failed. This is a hope. This is an opportunity for you to get up and go. Well, I don't want to follow Jesus because I can't talk very well. Well, if you can't talk very well, sit down and shut up. You're already there. Stand up. If you want help, you got to get up and do it. You got to seek the Lord and follow Him. Maybe it's going to be too hard. Maybe our friends won't like what we're doing. Well, they're not your friends. There's a young man last night that came up and first didn't know really how to take him. Didn't make a lot of sense at first. And the longer he talked and the more he listened, he just said, I need to change. He said, I know I'm wrong. I grew up as a Catholic and I've been following, trying to read the Bible and listen to these evangelical teachers, but it just ain't working. I know I need to change. And he just broke down and said, help me. Can you help me? How do I get right with God? And we told him, you start obeying what Jesus said. You start walking and following and putting into practice what Jesus said. You begin listening and doing what God wants you to do. He was with a young lady and she had gone on and he stayed there and talked for a while and he broke down and he just started crying. And he said, I need help. And we offered him help. We asked him if he had a place to live and he said, no. And we said, well, we can help you. And then this girl came back and said, come on, it's time to go. And he looked at us and he looked at her. And he said, I need to make 180. He told her, he looked right at her and he said, I need to change. I need to make 180 degree change and go the other way. And she looked at him. He said, no, you come on. Just come on. We'll talk about this. And we said, don't listen to her. Don't listen to her. She'll lead you astray. She'll turn you away. Don't listen to her. And he followed her. 30 minutes later, we looked up and here's two girls on both sides of him, and this man stumbling around, following. He didn't even know who we were. And he kind of looked toward us, and this girl said, come on. He couldn't even hardly walk. They were carrying him. Just out of his mind. I don't know what they did to him. But they turned him from following Jesus. And that's all it took. That's all it took. That one little decision. That one little moment. That he heard what Jesus wanted. And he knew that he had to make a decision and change. The last thing he said whenever he was in his halfway decent right mind was, I need to make a 180 degree change. And then he walked off. The door was open. and he missed it. The next thing, he was out of his mind and couldn't have made a right decision if he wanted to. When God calls, it's time to come for supper. You better start washing your hands and head for supper. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. We're in a wicked, dangerous world. And these people who you think are your friends want nothing more than to drag you to hell with them. Those little temporary plans you've got, maybe your dream of life, maybe your goal in life, wanting to do nothing more than to drag your soul to hell. Listen. Seek for Jesus. Determine to follow Him. And then walk wherever He will lead you. Whatever it may cost you in this world, follow Him. May the Lord add His blessings to His words. Blessed with Matthew, whenever Jesus came walking by, Matthew was sitting there busy at the receipt of customs, and Jesus came by. And he rose up, left all, and followed Him. That was the first message I ever preached. He rose up, left all, and followed Him. That's all we have to do. Take up our cross and follow. Father, we come before You this morning, Lord, and we just want to thank You for Your goodness and for Your mercy to us. Thank You, Father, for having grace that opens the door that gives us the opportunity to walk through it, Lord. Help us, Father, when we see that door open, to go through it. The door may not ever open again, Lord. We thank You for Your mercy. Lord, help us see the vileness and the wickedness in this world and avoid it, Father, and avoid the temptations of it. Again, we just thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Been thinking a lot this week. Had a little test done and it turned out fine, but before that test, before I even took it, I thought, you know, what if this test turns out and the doctor comes back in and says, you got 2 weeks to live? How would I live different? Would that affect my life? Would I look at things differently than I do now? And I just did some little examination. Am I living right now like it wouldn't matter if I only had 2 more weeks to live? Or would that make a real impact on my life? Would it change you? If it does, there's some changes need to be made. Or are you living like you only have 2 weeks left? One of my themes in my private devotions about when I'm thinking about preaching a message . What if this is the last message I ever preach? What if this is the last time I ever get a chance to talk to people? That's been the motivation behind my preaching. This may be the last time I ever get to talk to someone. What am I going to tell them? How am I going to live? Something we need to have on our mind continually. We should be preparing to die instead of being preparing to live. So that we could look forward whenever someone says, "You just got 2 weeks to go to your trip." Instead of, "Oh no, what am I going to do?" Praise the Lord. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? Once to every man in nation.